is with us, Emmanuel. Against us, our God is with us, Emmanuel.
We worship and we honor you, God, Lord. It's such an honor to really know the true God. This is the true God and eternal life. We thank you for your presence. We enter your word and we ask that that same presence go with us. We're fully aware of the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite, your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. So we ask that the Holy Spirit give us fresh unction and anointing to unravel it. So I will speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, all over the world, so that the word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble and open, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released, Father, from your throne in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray that, Lord, I ask for mercy to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, to say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, Amen. You know, as they were singing that, as the choir was ministering that song, and I'm not one to give in easily to crying, I began to tear up. And what touched me, I think, was the part of the song that says, to those that sat in darkness, a great light has arisen. And to those that were stumbling, and my mind went back to my youth. I was in darkness, and a light sprung up and took me through where I used to stumble. And here I am today. And I just began to, I was truly grateful. I was truly grateful. I remember where God brought me from. And I began to weep. Because I know what would have happened if he didn't show up. When he showed up in my life. Emmanuel is really God is with us. And the other part of that song, you know, which I put in this way. You see, it's not if God is with us. He is with us. So since God is with us, none can stand against us. And for those of you at home, I don't know what you may be going through, particularly with this lockdown and this coronavirus and all these things, but I want you to know it cannot stand against you. It cannot stand against you. Because Emmanuel, God is with you. And I want you to take that thought and have it in your heart and believe it. This afternoon I have a very important instructional present truth message. And the Lord has given me this title. It's called The Promise and the Oath of the Glory. The Promise and the Oath of the Glory. Firstly, I'd like us to go in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. The Promise and the Oath of the Glory. It is no accident that prophetically and by the Spirit of God, God put it in my wife's heart to call a 21-day fast at this crucial time where in the last days between the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, sorry, Feast of Pentecost. When I say the last days, they're actually 50 days. We're now, you know, like 30-something, almost 40 days, you know, so we just have about 14, 15 days left. And at this time, fasting and prayer is very crucial for us to press in, to grab a hold of this great promise and oath of the glory of God that God has given to us. And so I want to encourage you. And she didn't know what I was going to preach, you know. So she just told me a few days ago, said, honey, I said, that's right. And I said, Pentecost. In the, just a preamble, in the upper room, 2,000 years ago, about the apostles, Peter, James, John, their mothers, and the women, Mary, all Jesus' brothers and sisters, and a group of 120 other disciples obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. He told, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It's interesting to note that when he said it to about 500 people. Because a lot, you have to understand, go and read the Acts of the Apostles. You will find that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples many times. The Bible says, you know, he showed himself to them by many infallible proofs, you know, after his passion. And for those days, he was teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, as he taught them about Joel, that's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He told them from all the prophetic scriptures, you know. And then he said, go and wait. Sadly, many got tired of waiting and they left. But there was this 120 that stayed inside the upper room in obedience to the word of the Lord. And this is very significant. At that time, later they knew, but at that time they did not know it was going to be on the day of Pentecost because he didn't tell them that. He just said, wait. Even though everything revolved around the feasts, you know, they didn't have that understanding. They didn't have the clarity he had. And by waiting, we know the story, the power of God fell. We're in a parallel time right now, spiritually, where the Holy Spirit is speaking to saints all over the world, and to us in particular, that we need to wait, that waiting involves fasting and praying on the Lord to grab this glory, to lay hold on it. And that's why this particular message is of great prophetic significance. That's why I call it an instructional present truth. In other words, it's a truth that is presently being prophetically fulfilled. And that's why you need to take ample heed to the things we're going to read and the things we're going to say. During the Bible study, I spoke about the importance of a right attitude when you fast. And I know the Holy Spirit, I didn't even, you know, think of it. I was just ministering according to the word of God that was in front of me. You know, the fasting and prayer is going to be made effective through the right attitude of honesty and humility. And the more honest you are and the more humble you are, when you now fast and pray, it will even make you even more humble, because fasting humbles your soul. So I want to encourage everybody to be a part of this great fast in this prophetically significant Kairos time and season. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Let us read. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, turn to your neighbor, say, patiently endured. See, that's why you have to stay with this stuff. Fasting and prayer, 21 days, you have to stay consistent, be patient, be consistent. You fast during the day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then you come and for the prayer meeting in the evening. This was what they did in the upper room. He obtained the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will obtain the promise in Jesus' name. The promise of the glory. We're going to see that in a minute. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. God willing more abundantly to show unto Abraham. No. The heirs of the promise. This was not for Abraham. Abraham had got his own promise. Abraham had got Isaac. It's very important for us to understand that this was not written to Abraham. It was written to us. We are the heirs of the promise. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This was not written to Abraham. It was not written for Abraham's benefit. It was written for us, to whom the ends of the world will come, as we will see. Unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. God had made a promise, the God who cannot lie. But because of the magnitude of the incredibility of the promise, God had to confirm it with an oath, so that the heirs who are going to inherit the promise in the end of time will be able to believe it. Because what he has promised ordinarily is unbelievable. And we're going to see that in a minute. That's why I called it the promise and the oath of the glory. The promise was good, but the oath had to be added to encourage them in the end time that this thing is really true and it's going to happen. And so he said that by two immutable things, I didn't hear you, in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are the two things? The promise and the oath. We might, this is the purpose for it, have strong consolation, or should we use the word strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. Everybody say, lay hold on the hope. Say, you are going to seek God in fasting, in prayer, in tenacity, until you lay hold on the hope. So it's no longer going to become hope. It's now going to become reality. We're going to grab the hope. We're going to take it from hope in the future and bring it now into manifestation in the present. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. So this hope is a hope of something that is inside the holiest of all. the veil there is speaking about the veil that separated the holy place and the most holy place in the tabernacle of Moses as well as in the temple of Solomon. So this hope he's talking about is a hope that is inside the holiest of all. We're going to see it in a minute, you know, what it means to us today. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let me say that in simple English. Jesus was the first person to go in and get that hope and manifest it. Because he's a forerunner and he's got it, he's shown us how we too can get it. That's why I call it the promise and the hope and the oath of the glory. The glory we're speaking about is the same glory that was on Jesus Christ when he was on earth. It's the same glory that is recorded in John chapter 2, where he says that this beginning of miracles Jesus did and manifested forth his glory. So God is telling us that Jesus is the forerunner. He's manifested the glory. Now you and I, we are heirs of the promise. We are supposed to follow his footsteps, enter through the veil, go into the holiest of holies, and grab that hope and bring it out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so, the question then is, what is this hope? But before I answer that question, let us go to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and verses 15 through 18. This is where Abraham made the, or God made the original promise to Abraham's seed. You see, many times when people read these scriptures, they keep thinking of Isaac, that, you know, Abraham believed God before he got Isaac. That's true. But you see, this what God is talking about here was not to Abraham. It was to the seed. It was to you and I, the heirs. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. This one, Abraham gave up Isaac. You know, so this was not a promise for Isaac. This is a promise far beyond Isaac, although Isaac is a type. And said, by myself have I sworn. That's why, that's the oath. Said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing, watch this, will I bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. He's not only just talking about the Jewish race, which it includes. It includes the Jews. But it's far beyond that. It includes the seed that comes through Jesus Christ. He said that if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. And heirs according to the promise. This is a promise to every Christian. And truly, we are like the stars of heaven in multitude now. From that time up till now. Today now, only God knows how many millions of us, and then how many people have been Christians down through the centuries. Now, I don't want to get off into that. Then he said, and as the sand that is upon the seashore. Now he begins to tell us the details of the promise. I'm going to try and break it down in as simple a way as I can. He says, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Now, there is an application there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every human being on earth today has been blessed through Jesus. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you receive the forgiveness of sin, you receive the cleansing, you know, of your sins, you receive healing, by stripes you were healed, you receive prosperity, he was made poor that you might become rich, you know, you receive. But there is something deeper here that God is talking about. He's not just talking about, you know, all the nations being blessed through Jesus. That's true. But he's also talking about the nations of the earth that are going to be blessed through the seed of Jesus Christ that grow spiritually into his image and likeness. What we are facing right now. The Bible says the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about us. Look at the two things. They say, possess the gate of your enemies. And then, let all the nations of the earth be blessed through you. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness. Yea, gross darkness shall cover the people. You know, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, you know, and his glory will be seen upon thee. And watch this. And all the nations. This is what he's talking about. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. The whole creation is growing and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That they will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's the promise. Now, let's break this down, and I'm going to talk about the hope, you know, the glory, and what, you know, what the implication, and why, when you hear the details of what I'm going to give you, you will now understand why God had to put an oath. It's incredible. You know, we speak about, you know, believing the impossible, seeing the invisible, believing the impossible, and then manifesting the incredible. If God didn't swear, we won't believe it. So, God, knowing what our mindset would be, seeing down through the ages, that by the time the end time comes and the heirs of promise are going to inherit this thing, if they don't have this oath behind the promise, they will not be encouraged to press in and lay hold. I, because of time, I want to be as economical as possible. Firstly, let's deal with the gates of his enemies. Let me just summarize that. What are the gates? He's talking about our five physical senses. Now, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. Gates always speaks of the places of decision, the place of where the elders sit. They sit at the gates of the city. In our own case, our gates are the eyes, the nose, all the five physical senses. That is where Satan has been operating through the centuries. He's always possessed the gates. That's why Satan can make men do what he wants them to do. You know, he will speak to them through their mind. He will speak to them through their feelings, their emotions. He will make them do things, you know. So he's always possessed the gates, but we are now dispossessing him of the gates. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? That's why I said the gates of hell will not prevail. We are the ones who are going to prevail. So instead of the prince of the power of the air controlling the five physical senses and what we do, it is going to be now the prince of the prince of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God is going to now control all our five gates. The eyes, the smelling, the feeling, what I was speaking about during the Bible study, having a white raiment, where your body, you know, has the life of God in it, then you're controlling that gate. Unlike before, where Satan used to control it. Number two, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The nations are in distress now because of this coronavirus and other perils and plagues that are still coming down the road. But God is going to use the heirs of the promise, the sons of God, conformed to the image of Jesus, doing the works that Jesus did and even greater, to deliver mankind from the bondage of creation and therefore bless the nations. This is what he's talking about. And so in Colossians, it tells us what this hope is. I said the promise and the oath of the glory. What is this glory? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. This was the scripture I mentioned during the Bible study that God gave me when I was in Imperial College. I had a personal revelation of this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's, darling, that's when I got that commission for the perfecting of the saints. I got it in prayer college, and I kept it. So when we're going to start the church years later in 84, I use it as a theme because God told me that. Say, for whom, or rather to whom, God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Mystery just means secret, divine hidden secret, among the Gentiles. Anytime you see Gentiles in the King James, it means nations. Remember, the promise is that all nations will be blessed through us. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the glory we want to lay hold on. He's not just talking about being born again. Every child of God has Christ in them. Let's see what he says in verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in some wisdom, in all wisdom. All that means, you know, complete. Seven pillars, you know, all the principles of the Christ life. That we may present, we have a goal. We have a purpose. That's what my wife was doing during the announcements. That we should be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. You know, by the sleight of men in craftiness, whereby the lying way to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. That's the hope. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is what we're supposed to lay hold on. This is the promise and the oath. This is the glory that the promise and the oath gave us. Not just to be born again. Not just to speak in tongues. Not just to get healed and delivered and have some measure of financial and material well-being. But to have, to be perfect in Christ. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. We haven't heard anything yet. It was a few years ago, 2014 to be precise, which is 6 years from now, before now. I was preaching here in church. I was praying and God gave me this revelation of what I call the fullness of the ability of the mind of Christ. When I got that revelation, I appreciated the oath. I now said, oh yes, that's why he confirmed it with an oath. When you, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Just, you know, Paul just said it simply. And if you read in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, it's talking about revelation, knowledge and all of that, which is true. But Christ is God. Jesus made all things. So what then is the ability, the fullness of the ability of the mind of Christ? Many years ago, I was coming from England. I was on a British Airways flight. And sometimes I just watch documentaries, nice ones. So I watched a documentary of an autistic savant. I saw it. It wasn't, you know, it was. He would listen to a piece of music like Beethoven or Bach or something. And the guy would play it flawlessly. Yet this same person had issues with, he was autistic. So he can't button his shirt and stuff like that. But he could reproduce music. And he would have heard it only once. He never learned the piano. I said, wow, can this be true? And then I did some study on it. I discovered that it was not only true of that. It was true, you know, with art. So I would see something and they'd be able to draw it. There were those that had incredible photographic memories that would be able to, you know, there's one particular guy, he's dead now, I think. They used to call him Computer Kim. He can read a book with one eye. He will scan this page. With the second eye, he will scan this page. And he would tell you word for word. There was another one, you know, who could learn Icelandic and Russian and in 1 week he can learn a language and speak it fluently. Then the thought came to me, this is what God is talking about. The ability, the fullness of the ability of the mind of Christ. it struck me. I said, wow, God, that's what you're talking about. Then he took me to Solomon. When Solomon asked for wisdom, God said, I've given you wisdom. Then he said, I have given you, he said, God gave Solomon largeness of heart. He's not talking about, you know, generosity. He's talking about mental capacity and sagacity. Not only high mental, large mental capacity, but the ability to use it wisely. The sagacity. See, Solomon was wiser, and it was overnight. Solomon was not like that before. Then he, you know, God appeared to him in the dream. He said, what do you want? He said, you know, give me wisdom. And God said, I've given you wisdom and I'll give you riches beyond anything. And immediately after that, you know, this woman brought the two women, you know, and all of that. And Solomon judged it rightly. He didn't have that wisdom before. It was a supernatural impartation. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning ability. Incredible artistic ability, incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical ability. Some of these savants, if you ask them, you say, you know, on what day of the week is, you know, Sunday in 2047? He will tell you exactly. They can calculate, you know, things incredibly. I've seen them on television. Some of them are children, some of them are, you know, they can do. And some of them are like 5, 10 years old. You see the child, he can calculate things that you will have to use a calculator to do. And he will tell you the answer like that. Then God showed me, said, that was what I put in Adam's mind. It was what you lost when you fell. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But thank God for Jesus. What we lost in Adam has been fully restored in Christ. And it is now our time to grab it. Lay hold on that hope and bring it. With this type of ability, we will not only do physical miracles like healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils, which we will do and are very important. We will have intellectual miracles. Intellectual miracles that will lead to economic or financial miracles, that will lead to political miracles to set nations aright, that will lead to environmental miracles that will stop things like earthquakes and all kinds of climatic and geographic distortions that are upon the earth. In that manner, we will now become a blessing to all the nations of the earth. It is this hope of glory that I present to you. The promise of the oath and the glory. That's why God had to confirm it with an oath. Because it's too incredible to believe. It's too incredible to believe. And that's why he said that we should live. We might have. He confirmed it that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong, everyone say strong consolation. Say strong encouragement. Say not ordinary encouragement. Strong one. Because the thing is almost impossible to believe. So you need strong encouragement. That's where I believe this 21-day fast that we're going in becomes very, very significant. You see, this fasting you're going to do, this is a Kairos moment. I want you to put this as part of your prayer requests. Lord, give me strong encouragement and strength to pray, to fast, so that I can lay hold on this hope that is set before us. Like the early apostles laid hold on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Where they got the earnest of the Spirit, they spoke in tongues, and thank God for the glory. But we're going to have, the Bible says, the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than that one. Hallelujah. It's going to be the glory. It's going to be a glory that the men have never seen anything like it. When I understood all of these things, I now understood better what Jesus had at the back of his mind. When he said, the works I do, you will do. And then he said, you will do greater works. Jesus didn't do any of this. Not because he couldn't, but he reserved it for us. He reserved it for the end of time. Hallelujah. He did the most important thing. He died for us, and which was so important, you know, for the foundation. And then when he was alive, he raised the dead, he healed the sick. Observe, physical miracles affect individuals. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, it was Lazarus that it affected. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, it was her that it affected. Now, others heard the testimony and it encouraged them, but it didn't have any impact in their lives. That's the limitation of physical miracles. But intellectual, political, economic, environmental miracles affect nations. So this thing that is coming is not only going to affect individuals, it's going to affect nations. Fulfilling the second part of the promise that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. And what is going to allow this to take place is the manifestation of the life of God inside the physical body. You see, let me say it in a simple way that, you know, will mark your thinking. Our spirits have been born again. Our soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions is getting born again. Our bodies are getting, I use the word getting because it's present continuous, are getting born again. See, what got our spirits born again was the injection of eternal life. When our spirit received eternal life, we became partakers of the divine nature. Now, you know what God is going to do? He now wants to put that divine nature not only inside the spirit, he wants to put it in the mind. He wants to put it in the will. He wants to put it in the emotions. He wants to put it in the physical body. And he's going to produce a race of supermen. Superman is fiction and fantasy. This is reality. Glory be to God. Men and women that will have the life of God manifested now, here, in their mortal flesh. And when that life of God is made manifest in their mortal flesh, it's going to affect the physical body for healing and deliverance and all that. It's going to affect the brain. Scientists tell us that the geniuses like Albert Einstein and others are operating about 15% of the mental capacity. They don't know why. We are now going to see men and women that are going to operate 100%. The thing that could not work before, God is going to breathe. You know, when God made Adam from the earth, he created the physical body. The physical body was an empty carcass. He created it from the dust of the earth. Then the Bible said, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You can put it this way, a soul that has the life of God inside. That was why Adam could name all the animals. You go and try it. Your brain now, in its present condition, doesn't have the capacity to do it. Do you know how many animals they were? Anybody who does any kind of zoology or biology, you know how diverse the animal kingdom is. He named it Offhead. That mental capacity that was lost in Adam is about to be restored in Christ. It is literally a transformation of the physical body, which includes the brain. See, your brain is a part of your physical body. The brain, that's why we see those things in those autistic savants. What is happening is that one part of the brain, that thing is just restored. So you see that part, you see the photographic memory, then you see the language learning ability, then you see the artistic one, then you see the mathematical one, then you see the musical one. It's just different parts of the brain, and then the others are not there. But we're now going to see men and women in which the life of God is going to enter the brain, and everything will be restored. Photographic, language, artistic, musical, mathematical. I now understand. It was until I understood the incredibility. Honey, is that good English? the incredulity, incredibility, I coined that, you know, of this promise, that I now understood what was at the back of Paul's mind when he says, eye has not seen. Aha! Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. I said, oh, this is what God prepared for us. And you know what? With the problems we have in the end time now, it is only something like this that can solve it. Only something like this that can solve it. I was listening to the news yesterday. Oh, many of the economies now are in a tailspin. They're trying to revive the economies and all of that. You know, there are all kinds of limitations and problems. They're telling us some of this thing is going to be until 2022. You know, they don't know the sons of God are coming on the scene. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, it's not going to be on the 2022. We're going to get rid of it. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? We need to understand that this is our time. The whole creation is waiting for this manifestation of these sons of God that have the life of God, not only in their spirits, which they had before, but it didn't appear what they should be. But now, the life of God is coming into their mind, into their brain, and into their body in fullness. Watch this, permanently. Then they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. No, then these scriptures that you read in the Bible that, you know, you would have just said, oh, well, yeah, thank God for that. But you don't understand the implication. He said, the men of stature, they shall come down to you in chains. And they shall say, surely, God is in thee. Why? Because of what they would have seen. Why did Pharaoh bow to Joseph and all his advisors? The Bible says that, you know, they said, you know, where can we find such a man in whom the Spirit of God? It was obvious. He said, there is no one. Since God has shown it to you, they said, nobody knows more than you. He said, therefore, only in the throne will I be higher than you. And you know what he says in Psalm 105? He said, he taught their senators wisdom. And he bound these princes at his pleasure. Joseph had so much influence because of the wisdom God gave him that he was able to teach the government what to do. We're going to do the same. We're not going to necessarily join a political party, but we will be available so that we can give them wisdom. This is how to do it. You're wasting time doing this. This is the solution to this. And they will do it and they will find it is so and it will work. And the Bible said, and they shall come and they shall bow before you. They're not going to worship us. And if they try to do that, you discourage them and tell them not to do that. Because they are men too. Made in the image and likeness of God. And if they too come into Christ, they can get the same thing. Okay? But it will be so awe-inspiring that the Bible says they will come and they will bow. They'll say, surely, God is in thee. You know, I'm going to start rounding up in a few minutes. When the Queen of Sheba, when she came to Solomon, she had heard the rumors. She had heard all the reports. But she didn't believe. The Bible says that when she got to Solomon's kingdom, she saw his throne. She saw the majesty of his table and his servants. Then she heard what was coming out of his mouth. This is what the Bible says. He said there was no more spirit left in her. You know what she said? She said, I heard in my country that this is what he said, but the half has not yet been told. Men will come from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, and say, ha, we've heard that God is in thee. And when they come, they will see something greater than even what they thought. You see, I by the grace and the mercy of God, this is what revelation knowledge is. It gives you, it puts God's thoughts into your mind. You know, the Holy Spirit projects it as light into your mind. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "For God, you know, has shined in our minds to give the light of the knowledge." You know, who spoke out of, you know, commanded light to come out of darkness, has shined in our mind. So God is what, this message, God is using it to shine light into our minds to see what God is saying. So the Apostle Paul, he got a glimpse of this thing. You know what he said in Ephesians chapter 3? And that's what we're going to go to now. He said, he prayed a prayer for them. So he actually prayed two prayers. The Ephesians 1 prayer was for wisdom and revelation. The Ephesians 3 prayer wasn't just for wisdom and revelation. It was for experience. That Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. That we become rooted and grounded in love. Being able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ. That we may know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Watch this. That ye might be. It hadn't happened yet. And it didn't happen in that generation. It was reserved for our generation. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then to show you how much the Holy Spirit was trying to get the thing across to Paul. And the thing was so great. You know what he said next? He said, according to his power that worketh in us, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. He said, this fullness of God that I'm talking about is far beyond what you can think. That's why God had to confirm it with an oath. It's too incredible. But you know what? I believe it. I have chosen to believe it. And I have chosen to have strong encouragement to lay hold. I'm going to give you another thought before I just give you the last few steps and we close. This transformation, and that's what it is going to be. It's not a resurrection. We're not resurrected yet. But we are going to experience a transformation of our souls and our bodies. It's a literal transformation. That's where we get the Greek word metamorpho, the English metamorphosis. There's going to be the life of God inside our spirit through intercession and prayer and groaning and travail, fasting. That's why this time of fasting is so important. You know, it's going to do a work of transformation inside the soul and the body so that the soul and the body will now become transformed. Turn to your neighbor and say, your body is transforming. And ultimately, it will become transformed. Hallelujah. It's a transformation. When the transformation is over, what we are going to see is going to be incredible. The transformation is taking place as I speak. It's like the butterfly. You see, when the butterfly is in the cocoon stage, a transformation is taking place on the inside, but everything, you can't see it. Just, you know, on the outside, you just see the thing is just still on the leaf. When the transformation is over, the butterfly, the new wings, now breaks open the cocoon and the beautiful butterfly travels out. It is very different from the caterpillar that went into the cocoon. We went into the lockdown as caterpillars. We are coming out as butterflies. Glory be to God. And honey, you don't know how much God has spoken through you. You know, she came to me and said, God told her to do a fast. I just laughed. I said, this girl is hearing from God. She's speaking. You know what? This thing is like a birth. It is actually a birth. It's a birth. It's a birth of the transformation. This 21-day fast, this fast we're going to now, is the last push. You know, when you tell a woman, the head is coming out, push, push, push. push. This time of fasting and prayer, don't play with it, oh. Do the fasting and pray and groan. Push! Push! The baby is about to come out. The transformed sons of God are about to come out. That's one of the purposes of this fast. And when we come out, nobody's going to be afraid of coronavirus anymore. All the negative predictions, you know, and let me say this, you know, I try to be as gracious as I can, you know, because I'm a scientist myself. I understand the scientists. He's operating on statistical data that he has. So don't fight them when they say all those things that they say. It's as they understand it. They do not know of the supernatural. Let me give you the two things. The thing is coming out, you know, I'm getting all these tweets from heaven. You know, Moses was in Egypt. And when he told Pharaoh to let people and he didn't let them go, God brought allowed environmental afflictions to come upon Egypt. They had the plague of the frogs, they had the plague of lice, they had the plague of locusts. Watch this! When Pharaoh will be humbled, he will call Moses. He said, Moses, okay, I'll let the people go. Watch this. Moses will speak one word. One word. And all the frogs will disappear. Environmental plagues were dissipated instantly through the word of the prophet. We're going to do the same thing in the end time. There will be times God will call us. They will call us transformed sons of God. And they will speak and everything will just stop. The coronavirus will just stop. Boom. They won't understand it. You can't explain it scientifically. Amen? And you go and test the people, they won't have it. And then you will warn them. You are healed now. Sin no more. Lest the worst thing come upon you. Great days are ahead of us. I'm not done yet. This transformation is similar. It's not the same, but it's similar to the transformation Abraham and Sarah went through in their physical bodies. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Physically, it was impossible for them to have children. God came and said, circumcise yourself. You know, I'm going to do what I promised 25 years ago. To cut a long story short, these bodies of Abraham and Sarah underwent a physical, supernatural, spiritual transformation. So much so that Sarah was so beautiful, a king wanted to marry her. Nobody wants to marry an old 90-year-old dried up woman. It means everything came back. The breasts, the womb, everything came back. She was 90. She started looking like when she was 30. Otherwise, that man would not have been attracted to her. It was a transformation. And it's a type for us in the end time. That is why the scripture tells in Isaiah chapter 51, look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from which you were hewn. Like I transformed the physical bodies of Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac, I am going to transform your physical bodies to manifest the fullness of the Son of God. You can take that to the bank. Closing. How do we do this? I've already given you a hint. And the hint is this. You need to pray that Ephesians 3 prayer. You see, during this fasting and prayer, pray it every day. Pray it. Pray it like this. It's in all our books and everything. God, I pray that you grant me, according to Richard, to be more. Use the word more. To be more strengthened with might by your spirit in my inner man. That Christ would dwell more in my heart by faith. That I become more rooted and grounded in love. That I be able to comprehend more with all saints. What's the breadth, length, and height of the body of Christ? That I will know more the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that I might be. That's where I'm going. That's the end point, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's paraphrase it, that my soul and my body might be completely transformed. So I will manifest the glory of God. Now, two things. I have some list here that the Lord gave me. Number one, every day during this fast in particular, and even afterwards, pray for more humility and more of the fear of God. It's in all our books. Number two, pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit every day. Give me more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. You know, as I pray now and in every circumstance situation for today. Pray that prayer every day. And pray it with earnestness. Don't just repeat it like a parrot. Pray it in faith. Pray it with your heart. Give me more love, more joy, more peace. You know, I've been praying this prayer for myself now since I instructed us to do it, you know. And I've seen that it's actually working. I used to be patient before. I used to have kindness, but I have more of it now. Because I do it every day. These two things, the fear of God, honesty and humility, you know, and the fruit of the Spirit are the foundation on which this transformation can stand. Because a person that doesn't have that thing will misuse the transformation. In fact, he will never get it. God will not, God is not careless, because they will become a tyrant. Then, do concentrated prayer in the Spirit daily. This is where good morning Jesus, good evening Jesus is going to help you. You know, do the corporate. Then do the individual. That's why we're also doing a fasting and prayer. So we do the corporate in the evening, 5 to 6. Then individually, find time. You're still in lockdown. God allowed the lockdown so that the church could get ready. Pray in the Spirit. I'm not going to be praying for money and this. Pray that I be conformed to the image of Jesus. Pray that God, Lord, let this transformation work in my soul and in my body and transform me to become like Jesus. So I recommend that you do an hour or two every day. Well, Good Man Jesus goes for 2 hours, and then there's the one in the evening. That's 3 hours already there, you know, during the fast, you know, and then you do, you know, at least once in a week for yourself personally. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pray about other things. You pray about other things too. But put this in the front burner. You know, and then of course, read your Bible, study your Bible, particularly all these prophetic things. Take messages like this message. Put them on your computer. Then start listening to them. When I quote a scripture, stop it. Open the Bible. Check the scripture I checked. When you understand what I said, then put it back on. It will take you, this kind of message, you know, it's taking me about an hour to preach. By the time you finish, you'd have spent like 2 hours. Do you understand? Listening and checking the scripture, listening and checking. Don't just listen. Open the Bible. So God will give you understanding. As you do this, you will begin to experience an inner transformation. Not only will you experience an inner transformation, as this glory comes, you'll be a partaker of it. You may not partake all the fullness at once, but you'll be a partaker of the borrowed anointing, like the 12 apostles, like the 70, and you will carry some degree of that glory. You will heal the sick. You will cleanse the leper. You will raise the dead. I said this years ago, and I'm going to keep saying it. The hour is coming, and now is, where miracles like healing of cancer, raising the dead, will be as common as tongues is now. Now, you know, tongues is common now. But even that, not everybody's still speaking tongues. So it will be. It will be common. Miracles will be common. And the things that will not be common will be these, all these intellectual, those ones will not be as common. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, I want to encourage you. Lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. The promise and the oath in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. I have a song in my heart. You know, when I was praying this morning, it doesn't happen to me often. It happens to me once in a while. As I was finishing this, you know, in the middle of the night, in fact, from yesterday, actually, it was yesterday afternoon, you know, I was praying, preparing for today, you know, the song just bubbled up. Lord, the light of your word is shining
in the midst of the darkness.
It bubbled up in me as I was praying. It came from my spirit.
Us free by the truth, you now bring us. Shine on us. Shine on us.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Be the light
with
the Father's glory.
Blaze.
Ago, when the Lord spoke about calling the 21 days fast, that was Friday, I was awed, but I knew that it was a Kairos moment, and that it was a divine call from heaven that we had to do the fast. And then this morning, I've been praying, Lord, what do you want us to pray about? This is not just praying without having a prophetic direction about what to pray about. So I began to pray this morning. You know, that time in Good Morning Jesus when you pray for your personal request. I began to lay before the Lord, Good Morning Jesus, fast, the 21 days fast. And I said, Lord, speak to us. Give us directions about what to pray about. And I just sat down there. And you know, there were many things, and the Lord was speaking to me about direction, about this has to be about being conformed more to the images. But I was like, am I hearing God? Is this prophetic, or this is foundational? that we may be conformed to the image of the Lord, so we can break through into that which He wanted to do. And I just sat down. I never even said a word to Him. That was why I was just dumbfounded sitting in the masjid. Because we are blessed to have an apostolic and prophetic grace, just giving us direction like He normally does under unction by the mercy and the grace of God. Dearly beloved, this is not business as usual.
No.
This is a Kairos moment. Now I pray that the Lord will have mercy upon us, that we will not miss the day of our visitation, and that the Lord will help us, that we'll break through that cocoon and we'll become that butterfly and we will fly for Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to pray now, which is a very, very short prayer. Like we've shared with you, you know, this is a prayer going to continue with fasting and prayer and all that. But let's just pray this prayer. Just say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. Lord, we repent of every sin of unbelief. Lord, we believe your word. We accept your promise and your oath. And we have strong encouragement now to lay hold on this hope that is set before us. Father, come and strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man, so that Christ will dwell more in our hearts by faith, that will become more rooted and grounded in love, that will be able to comprehend more with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth and height of the body of Christ, that we will know more the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, so that ultimately we might be filled with all the fullness of God, spirit, soul and body, and carry your glory and manifest your glory in this hour of darkness for the blessing of humanity, delivering nations from the bondage of creation into the glorious liberty of us, the sons of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dearly beloved, I just forgot to say to you, Pastor Laulu was whispering to me. Do you know, like about a few months ago, God just said to me every time after Good Morning Jesus that this particular scripture, that and spirit of wisdom and revelation and being vouchsafed worthy of God, that I and the team and I that are praying with me every day, we pray it. It's because something is about to happen. And here now, He's just declared and opened it out to us. So please come. This prayer every day is going to be different. We're going to wait in the Lord to receive His mind about what we're going to pray about. And I'm trusting God that the same person that went into lockdown is not going to be the same person that came out, in the mighty name. Not just for us, for members of our household and those under our sphere of influence and concerning everything that pertains to us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Stretch forth your hands and just pray in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy on us. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, number in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We come to the end of the service. The scripture says, you know, no plague will come nigh thy dwelling. You know, 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it will not come nigh thee. Believe God. Keep saying that with your mouth and keep praying. And the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are laying hold on the glory. You are laying hold.